Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. On Friday, when that tragic shooting took place in that school in Connecticut, and it finally came to an end, and all of the gunshot sounds were done, and the voice of the police could be heard through the halls, one of the teachers of a first grade class told all of her students, who she had managed to hide safely, "Close your eyes and let's form a chain and hold hands," as they walked out of the halls. And she told them not to look down at all, but if they had to look anywhere, to look up at the ceiling as she led them out. She was afraid of what they might see and the type of carnage that was waiting for them. And I'm sure that that scene was beyond horrifying, and how difficult it would be just for adults alone to see that, but for a little child. We can't stand to look at what the fall into sin has done in this world and what it has the potential to do to us. We are so powerless to it that even the sight of it can terrify us while we're living. And it can scar somebody psychologically for the rest of their lives. But even though we may want to avert our eyes from it and shield ourselves from ever having to look at it, it's there, and it's real, and it's not going away. And we may try to come up with new security measures to put in place to see if we can fend it off and make it not come upon us so easily. But be assured that death will hunt us down, and we are very powerless on our own. The curse of that fall into sin is all over the place, and it can't be prevented with alarms and bulletproof glass and everything else. And even dying the innocent death of a little child in a classroom, going to school, does not ensure that we will go to heaven when that takes place. Do we ever need God to be with us? Do we ever need God with us? That's why it was so necessary that our God would come and imprint himself into human history, like pressing your hand into fresh, warm clay. It was necessary for God to embed himself in the human race in order to rescue us. Just as he had promised our parents in the Garden of Eden that he would come and undo this horrific curse that had fallen on mankind and crush the head of Satan. Joseph, Mary's betrothed husband, has this miraculous intervention by God explained to him. The divine plan of how God was going to ultimately enter human history in order to accomplish this and work this out would require having to come into an actual human family. And for some reason, God selected this young married couple, a not yet married couple, but betrothed couple. And of course, this would now cause a great personal dilemma for Joseph, something he would have to deal with, because it would appear to him on the surface that this wonderful future bride of his had been unfaithful to him. And one can only imagine how challenging this was, as he was looking forward to some of the most exciting thing in his life, to being married to this young Mary, and now the distress that he must have felt. And you can only imagine how Mary tried her hardest to explain to him exactly what was going on, but apparently to no avail. And so Joseph, in dealing with this dilemma, through the process of human logic and his rational thought, but at the same time his emotions and his feelings, arrives at the decision that he's going to have to break this betrothal. He can't marry her. And in order to be as nice about it as he can to Mary, to avoid making her a public disgrace, and to avoid shedding spotlight on her apparent unfaithfulness, Joseph now decides to do this quietly. He didn't want her to be branded as an adulteress the rest of her life. And so God, knowing his plan needs to be carried out the way he wants it, has to interfere in the situation, interfere in a good way. And so he sends his angel to enlighten Joseph from on high with what this great plan is all about, and to explain to him that that very promise first given in the garden now was going to happen in real life, real time, human history, in his life, and in his world and in his day. Just prior to the text that I read to you, the angel has given Joseph this announcement. And you can only imagine the relief that he felt. For two reasons. First of all, that his future wife really hadn't been unfaithful to him. The wedding could go forward. And all of the hopes and dreams and plans that he had for his life, just like you may have, some of you looking forward to getting married someday, that all of those hopes and dreams could still move along and go ahead as he thought. But more than that, he had a twofold reason for joy. The second was that the Messiah, the very promised one, had now come and was now, even now, present in the womb of his virgin fiancée. And here is God with us. Charles Wesley's hymn says it so well. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. At times I've had students on this campus ask me, why did the early writers of the creeds spend so much time on who Jesus was? And why do we in our religion classes sometimes have to spend so much time talking about who Jesus was? Well, the reason is that this little child alone is the answer to the curse. He's the answer to that bloody classroom. He's the answer to your grave. He's the answer to your sin. He alone is the answer to your future death. Salvation is found in no one else, St. Peter tells us, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And it's only through this child, God with us, it is only through this Emmanuel that you and I, by faith, can look straight at death in all of its horror and all of its terror and have no reason to be afraid. One of the little boys, a six-year-old who was shot in that classroom you've maybe heard about over the weekend, is named Jack Pinto. And his favorite NFL player for the New York Giants was a guy by the name of Victor Cruz. And Victor Cruz heard about this little boy liking him so much. And so for the game yesterday, Giants game, he wrote this little Jack Pinto's name all over his shoes and on his gloves that he used for the game. And apparently he plans to go see the family this week, and that little boy will probably be buried this week. And the plans are to bury him in a New York Giants jersey, number 80. And that's a very nice, touching story. But there's really no power in that jersey. It's going to rot and decay and be gone. We need Emmanuel. We need the real victor in this world, our Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is God with us. And unlike a kind but purely sentimental gesture that has no power attached to it at all, he, through the waters of holy baptism, has already dressed you in the robe of his glorious righteousness that alone will allow you to enter the gates of heaven someday. And clinging to him by faith, trusting in him as your Savior from sin and death, as you someday will be laid in your casket, that garment alone will cause you to rise from your grave. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. No more let sin and sorrow grow. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Amen.